Protests escalated in Minneapolis over the death of a black man in police custody. And the environmental impact of the COVID-19 shutdowns.
Well, the International Energy Agency says the emissions this year will fall about 8%, which is the largest annual drop going back to 1932. So that's a pretty stunning development.
A moment to take stock of where things stand on climate change. Plus, President Trump promises a press conference on China, and the stock market rally pauses. It is Friday, May 29th. I'm Mark Garrison with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. Twitter attached a warning label to a tweet from President Trump saying it, quote, violated the Twitter rules about glorifying violence. It's part of a series of tweets about the George Floyd protests. President Trump criticizes the Minneapolis mayor and urges him to, quote, bring the city under control. He references a conversation with the state's governor about use of the National Guard. The president says in the tweet, quote, any difficulty and we will assume control. But when the looting starts, the shooting starts. The White House wasn't immediately available to comment about the warning label in the early hours of Friday morning. The president sharply criticized Twitter this week after it attached fact-checking notices to his tweets about mail-in ballots. Yesterday, he signed an executive order seeking to limit broad legal protection federal law provides to social media platforms. Twitter has defended its policy and called the president's executive order, quote, reactionary and politicized. Protests in Minneapolis over the death of George Floyd have escalated sharply, with the governor sending in the National Guard. Late last night, a police station was set on fire, according to local news reports and video posted on social media. Federal and state officials are investigating Floyd's death, which got international attention after bystander video showed a white officer with his knee on the neck of Floyd, a black man. Floyd repeatedly says he can't breathe. An attorney for the officer seen on video did not respond to a request for comment. We are getting new information on how different parts of America are opening up, as well as places that will stay closed. Both the Boston Marathon and Wisconsin State Fair are now canceled. New York City is out with new guidelines on partial reopening of stores and construction sites next week. Businesses will have to cut occupancy by half, maintain social distance, and screen employees. The percentage of New Yorkers testing positive for the coronavirus has fallen. Plans for safely reopening many countries around the world rely on data, including infections, hospitalizations, and deaths. And there are growing questions about the accuracy of death tolls. In countries including the U.S., U.K., and Russia, the number of deaths overall is sharply up, far exceeding the number of new COVID-19 deaths reported. They only report COVID-19 deaths that are confirmed by tests, but many public health officials now say the death toll should reflect suspected COVID-19 fatalities as well. Some countries like Belgium are already doing this. In just a moment, Wall Street nervously awaits what President Trump is going to say about China today. Investors are on standby to hear what President Trump says about China today. Markets columnist Rochelle Toplinski gets us up to speed.
So the U.S. stock markets reversed a two-day rally on Thursday afternoon after President Trump said he plans to hold a press conference about China. China's been working to tighten rules in Hong Kong in a bid to crack down on anti-Beijing protests in the city. Now, these efforts prompted the U.S. State Department to declare earlier in the week that Hong Kong no longer has a high degree of autonomy from China. And this has escalated tensions between the U.S. and China, and that has the markets rattled. Overnight, this also extended into Asia, where Hong Kong's main index, the Hang Seng, closed down around 170 points. These escalating tensions between Beijing and Washington have created two real big worries for investors. One is the future of the special legal status of the city, and the other is really a risk or a question of whether we're on track for another trade war between China and the U.S.
After a very short pause, taking a moment in the pandemic to consider long-term questions about climate change. The widespread COVID-19 lockdowns are taking cars off the street and planes out of the sky. All that adds up to a major drop in carbon emissions. The shutdown period is not here for the long term, but it does create a moment to step back and think about what the future holds for environmental questions. That's the focus of the latest piece from Journal Chief Economics Commentator Greg Ipp, who spoke with our J.R. Whalen.
So, Greg, how low are carbon dioxide emissions expected to fall this year versus projections due to the pandemic?
Well, the International Energy Agency says the emissions this year will fall about 8%, which is the largest annual drop going back to 1932. So that's a pretty stunning development.
And what impact has the pandemic had on energy usage?
Well, of course, it has caused people to stay home. So there's a lot less transportation, a lot fewer people driving, even mass transit has slowed down. Airplanes are grounded. Industry as well, and offices obviously using less electricity. So across the board, there's been a dramatic reduction in energy usage. But it hasn't been the same for every form of energy. Coal-fired and natural gas-fired electricity has declined a lot more because at least when you shut those down, you save money on fuel. With wind and solar, because there's no ongoing fuel cost, you might as well keep them running. So we've actually seen the share of renewables in electricity go up this year.
We got some pretty significant data this week from the Energy Information Administration that for the first time in more than a century, the U.S. consumed more renewable energy than coal last year.
That's correct. And that was even before the pandemic came along. So I think that there's a couple of encouraging trends going on here. Now, it's of course not encouraging that it took a pandemic to reduce carbon emissions this much. But what it does show us is that carbon emissions have been rising much more slowly than the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change thought they would, 5 to 10 years ago. What does this tell us? Well, it tells us a couple things. I think number one, some of the more serious scenarios that looked at temperatures rising more than 4 degrees Celsius, they're really unlikely now because we're just not getting the emissions growth that would require that sort of temperature rise. The other thing is that even though temperatures are still rising more than is really healthy for the world, we have more time to deal with that problem by encouraging a move towards a decarbonized economy.
Oh, so what the pandemic has done is kind of slow down the clock in terms of the world having to curb pollution.
This is very important. It's good that emissions aren't growing anymore. But that's not enough to stop the planet from getting warmer. Emissions actually have to go down a lot. That's because global warming is a function of how much CO2 there is in the atmosphere that's accumulated over the last 2 centuries. If we're just adding less to that stock of CO2 in the atmosphere, that's good, but it's still going the wrong direction. We have to get it down a lot. So there's a lot of work to do in terms of investing in low carbon energy capacity and in innovation that can find solutions to this energy issue without putting people out of work.
That was Journal Chief Economics Commentator Greg Ipp speaking with our J.R. Whalen. And that is What's News for this morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. We are back with another updated episode this evening, and there's always more on WSJ.com and our app. I'm Mark Garrison with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.